Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
King David writes in Psalm 103, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that He does for me. He forgives all of my sins, and He heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death, and He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are only dust." Boy, isn't that the truth? How weak we are, and we're made of dust. Well, today we continue our series on how to raise your boys and turn them into godly men. And Dr. Mike Fabares is my guest, and we're discussing his latest book, Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, how to take your son's sin seriously and yet provide hope at the same time. Number two, we learn how to come with sympathy from our own past, but yet at the same time not minimize the sin itself. And some final thoughts from Pastor Mike for parents who think things are too far gone. Today's show is titled, How to Respond to Your Son's Mistakes and Sins. One of the practical suggestions that you got here with talking about sexuality with your sons is responding to when they do sin. As a parent, how do we respond to their transgressions?
Yeah. Well, and this is so hard because it depends on what kind of family you've had. If you've had a family with really high standards, you need to understand when the transgression surfaces, they carry such guilt. You know, they feel like, I'm sure when you tell them early on, listen, we're not going to have any of this. You're not going to do any of that. You're not going to look at these kinds of images. And then they do. They think when you first tell them that, oh, I would never do that. You know, it'd mm-hmm. be like telling them, don't murder your neighbor. They think, right. Oh, I would never do that. Well, then they do it. And so for one, it's hard for them to confess, but say they get caught or they do confess and they have a soft heart in your child, you've got to let them know, listen, I understand this. I can be gracious in terms of my response to this. There does need to be greater parameters and there needs to be some consequences, but I need to let you know this doesn't end your relationship with me. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't devastate and put up the iron curtain between you and God. You know, confession and repentance. I mean, God is so ready to embrace the person that's honest about their sin. So I want to try and give them that sense of grace and the fact that any of these transgressions can be overcome. But, you know, to have that right balance of taking the sin seriously while giving them the right kind of hope. I mean, we even see it in the Bible as Paul dealt with it to the Corinthians. You know, he said, listen, you know, I don't want this person to be overcome with grief. You need to restore this man and realize that he's suffered enough. So finding that balance, and even Paul had to step into those Corinthians to make sure in that discipline situation in the church that they found the right balance in that. We need to also. We need to be serious about righteousness. We need to be really serious about the transgression when it takes place, but we need to also realize this doesn't define the whole of your life. Just because you fell into an afternoon of pornography, or you know, masturbation, or whatever it might be, listen, we can get through this. This doesn't end it, you know, your relationship with me or God. Let's keep moving forward with some increased accountability and see if we can't get back on the rail. Because these are things we all struggle with. And every parent, I hope, is going to come with the sympathy of their own heart and say, yeah, I know what it's like to fail. So I'm going to help my son through this without making it a small thing. It's never a small thing. It's a big sin is a big thing, but we've got to be gracious in the response that we have with our kids. I love Psalm 103 when God says, you know, he's like a father to a child. He has compassion on his children because he knows they're just dust. And I think that's a great reminder. We're made of dirt, and us as parents, biological parents, just like God is our spiritual parent, knows that, listen, we got weaknesses, we got hormones, and frankly, the hormones of your 16-year-old probably raging a lot harder than your hormones as a 35-year-old. You got to realize that, you know, this is something you're gonna deal with transgressions, and you've got to do it with that right kind of balance of seriousness and yet grace as you respond to them in forgiveness and make sure they understand God's forgiveness and how that works.
Absolutely. Grace upon grace. God is the God of a thousand do-overs, especially when it comes to this this subject of sexuality. And yes. Man, thank God for that. Well, Mike, what, you know, we've been talking about just the kind of the soul aspect of sexuality here. And as we wrap up our conversation, you talk a lot about different things in the book. What led you to write the book in the first place?
Well, I didn't plan on writing this book. As I said, I've got two boys off to college right now and one in seminary. And I had one of the administrators of the school that got to know my oldest son. He got dinner with me and he said, listen, I'm just impressed with your son. I've gotten to know your other son who was at a different college. And I just think we really need you to put your parenting wisdom into black and white and to write a book on this. And he just challenged me. Now, I'd never thought about doing that, but just that one simple paragraph of a challenge, it just kind of haunted me for the next couple months. And I thought, you know what? I am often asked in my own church to do some teaching in our young marrieds course or on young marrieds class or, you know, our new moms class. And I do a lot of discussion and teaching in the church in these programs about parenting. And I realize how well attended those are. And when we open it up for Q&A, just how, you know, voracious the appetite mm-hmm. is for good practical yeah. information on parenting, that I hit up Moody Publishers and I said, hey, you know, would you be interested in this book? And they said, yeah. And it was so providential. The doors just opened. You know, it's hard to get a book published, right? Yeah. And they said, we'd love that. Send us a proposal. And, you know, I've been through the publishing process with, you know, other publishers, a few others. And, you know, I know it can be sometimes a challenge and they want to change this approach or change the title here. And it was just, Moody was such a great publisher to work with. They saw my vision for this that was kind of being pushed on from behind. And they said, let's do it. And they didn't change the title. They were so affirming about every chapter. And, you know, it was just a great to work with them to see that they shared the vision that I had to get some real practical information out that is not trying to say this is the only way to apply these biblical principles, but here's some biblical common sense, as I call it, sanctified common sense, that we can kind of find ways to have the sex talk, or what about allowance, or what mm-hmm. about dating, or what about smartphones. And so the book is filled with practical information, and I hope that people get a hold of Raising Men, Not Boys, and find that kind of you know, help that really was our prayerful intention in writing the book from the beginning.
Well, thank you, Mike. Any last thoughts or suggestions or just anything to encourage parents as they raise their boys?
Well, I would think, Dustin, a lot of parents feel like, you know, when they hear any kind of parenting advice, they think, hey, you know, this is it's too far gone for me, or I haven't done well, or, yeah. you know, they just feel like they failed. And I just want to say, even if you feel like you're in the, you know, the fourth quarter and there's only 2 minutes to go, you know, prayerfully get to work and try and be a positive discipler in your kid's life with all that you've got left. Or maybe you've got a broken home. And I've talked a lot about dads and the role of dads, and you're a single mom thinking, you know, how do I raise my boys to have a sexual view or a healthy view of sex, or, you know, any other aspect of parenting. And I'm kind of doing this parenting job with one hand tied behind my back. And I would say, listen, God is a master at taking the underdog and accomplishing great things through yeah. them. So don't feel, you know, because you're Gideon and come from the smallest tribe, that you're not going to be able to, you know, defeat the enemy in this area of your life. God can do great things. So trust him, go at it, say, I want to do the best I can. I do have sections in the book that talk about, okay, if my family's blended or my family's broken, how can I go about this? And talk a lot about the church and how we can partner with the church. So don't feel discouraged. Don't feel envious. Oh, that guy over there, they've got the perfect family. I guarantee you, the family you think is perfect, you know, has got all kinds of challenges and problems. So don't feel like you just are two laps behind and you can't ever do anything positive in your parenting. God can get this done. I want to give you hope. I want to tell you God is an expert in taking the underdog and making him a winner. So do the best you can to find good biblical circles to run in and get good biblical information. I hope like this book will contribute to that and get to work prayerfully to be a good parent. And God will take care of the rest.
Well, thank you, Mike. Once again, the book is titled Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
It's been great to be with you, Dustin.
Don't you love those encouraging words from Dr. Mike Fabares? Well, we've been discussing his new book for the past week. It's titled Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. And I pray that this series has been a huge blessing to you. You know, it's good to know that we are never too far gone. We may think so, but the word of the Lord says in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Jesus says in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body and what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food and the body? It's more important than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, as we draw closer to Christmas and the New Year's, I would ask that you please consider a year-end donation to keep the podcast and the ministry going. We're a 501c3, which means it is a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, and we are reaching 80 countries around the world. We would love to reach the other 80 plus, and we could really use your help to do so. You can become a Purity Partner with us for 2018 at $1 per day. You can do that by visiting dustindaniels.org/give. And while you're on the website, make sure you click on store, as there's great reading materials for you as well. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor and email me your questions. I would love to hear from you at dustindaniels.org. Blessed are the pure in hearts, for they're going to see God. Jesus says that in Matthew 5:8. Is that great news or what? To see God face to face. As one of the popular rock songs, who is it? I think it's 10th Avenue North. He talks about seeing the lines on your face. That's the intimacy. That's the relationship that Jesus wants with us. And someday, if we are pure in heart, we will stand face to face with him. Oh, that gives me goosebumps. Walk worthy today, my friend. As you cling to Jesus, I love you, and I look forward to our time again on Monday.